Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
505, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday. We are holding steady right there at 86, 87 degrees, expecting some showers, some thunderstorms to come rolling in the next couple of hours, but nothing earth-shattering so far as I can see. We're continuing to take a look at what is going on in Los Angeles. It's awful to say. I mean, the visuals are just terrible. I will say this. Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, earlier today said, we will not permit that sort of activity here in New York City. It's going to be interesting because the leftists have decided that this is going to be their issue. It's going to be across the country. But at the moment, it is Los Angeles. And it all stems, we're told, because federal agents with ICE were actually doing their job. You know Tony Pham. Tony is, for me, a dear friend, somebody I just think the world of, but Tony's accomplishments are absolutely legendary when we talk about his work with C.T. Woody, the sheriff at the city of Richmond. We talk about him running his own jail. We talk about his service in the federal government, the acting director of ICE, the assistant secretary for border security and immigration policy. You remember he was the principal legal advisor for that as well. And he's now a senior fellow of the Center for Homeland Security and Immigration. But I'm always just going to call him Tony. Tony, I appreciate you being here, sir.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me on the show so I can talk to your listeners.
It is always good to have you here to talk to my listeners. And my listeners and I would like to know your sense with all of this background, all of this experience with ICE and DHS. You see what's going on in L.A. What do you make of it?
You know, it's unfortunate that I begin to see a similar pattern forming from when the president, President Trump, was first elected in 2016, laying the radicals, the anarchists are beginning to lay the foundation with the help of legacy media this time, in trying to frame the position and argument of ICE is the one that's creating this issue, which led to the violence and the destruction and the rioting out in L.A., even to the point where the mayor, Mayor Bass, herself has openly stated that had ICE not conducted the raids, this wouldn't have happened. So let's be clear. What the mayor is saying and what I believe the left is saying, and I'm saying it's the left because I haven't heard a strong rebuttal or a strong condemnation other than from Mayor Adams. But he's not part of the Democratic Party anymore. You know that. He decided he's going to run as an independent in New York City.
That's right.
But the problem that we're having is they're framing the argument as this as being an ICE problem. Well, let's be clear. ICE is legally enforcing duly passed legislation under the Immigration Nationality Act that was passed with bipartisan support. They are merely doing their jobs and enforcing the law. What we're hearing is liberals and Democrats saying, well, because you're enforcing the law, this is what's creating the violence, the rhetoric, and the rioting out in L.A. And all I'm hearing is that's enabling and excusing poor behavior, right? Because what happens as a former prosecutor, I decide I'm going to prosecute strongly DUI laws here in the United States, in the Commonwealth, which I've done before.
Sure.
And then we get a group of activists or anarchists who disagree with DUI laws in the Commonwealth, are they then empowered to destroy, burn, and pillage like they're doing in LA just because they disagree with the application of the law? Jeff, this is completely different than what we saw in the summer of love, summer of 2020, right? In where the city of Richmond burned.
Yeah.
This city burned. We had buses, we had fire trucks impeded. this, there was a movement, a social justice movement, and I will give it its credence that there was at least a policy-related issue of police reform that was tied to that movement. Mm-hmm. We had anarchists who co-opted that message and embedded themselves into that movement to instigate complete destruction of cities around the United States. We saw it.
That's right.
5 years later, we recognize it, we understand it, we condemn it 5 years later, but too little too late.
That's right.
What's happening here, however, is different. There's no movement here other than a disagreement with duly enacted laws, the application of laws. And that is a pure definition of anarchy. Just look it up. That is a pure definition of anarchy. When people disagree with authority, they're out there in the streets looting and rioting. Now, what my heart bleeds for are the innocent store owners, right? First, let's talk about those. Those are individuals who are adversely impacted by the looters who would come out and co-opt the message. There were peaceful protesters at the very beginning that wanted ICE out of L.A. That's fine. They have a First Amendment right to do so. But unfortunately, it quickly devolved into individuals throwing rocks, bricks, bottles again at our law enforcement officers. Number two, my heart goes out, having run the organization, to those agents at ICE, those agents at CBP, all of our officials in the federal space, because I've seen it firsthand. As people remember, protesters descended upon my home here in Richmond, Virginia, and targeted my family, all because they disagreed with me doing my job on behalf of the federal government. And so I know it firsthand, Jeff. I know the frustration firsthand. It's frustrating, but what we need is strong leadership on both sides to call this out. It's a little late now for Chief McDonald out in L.A. He said, oh, we're not going to cooperate with ICE and any enforcement. Mm-hmm. But then he began to see how the radical leftists began to co-opt that message or that protest. And now him and his staff are under fire right now because their city is burning, when they should have taken a very forceful position at the very beginning to maintain law and order.
Tony Pham is joining us. Tony, let me ask you about an issue that Hakeem Jeffries has raised, and I think it ties into what you just alluded to, where your family was under attack by people showing up in the front yard and doing terrible things. You know, Hakeem Jeffries has a big problem, apparently, because a number of the ICE officers are wearing face coverings. My understanding is that these officers are actively being doxxed, and their families, their kids at schools are under attack. But Hakeem Jeffries continues to sort of hang his hat, if you will, on the fact that the ICE officers have their face covered. Have you got a sense of that? Any opinion?
I have very strong opinions, because I know a lot of my employees were doxxed back in 2020, and they disclosed my home address in 2020, right? And so, but let me say this, as the acting director for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, I knew what I was walking into, and I happily received all the threats. I happily received all of the negative comments, so long as it meant shielding my employees from that very same rhetoric. Mm-hmm. Because those guys and gals are just doing their job, and they do not deserve what is coming down the pike. They're taking orders, lawful orders, quite frankly, to go out there and impose and apply the immigration laws that Congress passed. Leadership is a little in a different posture, Jeff. I will say that for someone of my background who took the position, fully expected it. You know what? You can't get into those positions without understanding it and expecting it.
Yeah.
But not my family, right? And so our officers have their families being threatened. Their officers having their families' names put out there. So the face coverings, you know, I always laugh because Antifa does it. Right. But you don't hear Hakeem Jeffries condemning the violence. And you know, quite honestly, I'm frustrated because Congress, he's a part of Congress. They passed these laws, Jeff.
Yes.
If he doesn't like what he's seeing, step up, Hakeem, and caucus with your team. Figure out whether there's some kind of amendments to the legislation that can be passed. But to condemn our officers as opposed to condemning the violence says a lot about him and a lot about the Democrat Party.
Absolutely. Tony Pham joining us, former acting director of ICE, great background inside of DHS. There's a dust up now as well, Tony. As you know, Governor Gavin Newsom, I think, is staking out a purely political tact on this. He's making an awful lot of hay out of it. Tom Homan, who is, you know, he's just an old school cop, man. That's Mr. Homan. He says if you interfere, you're subject to arrest. Doesn't matter whether you're a guy on the street or the governor of the state. Where do you think that one heads? And what do we do with the protection of the buildings in addition to the officers? Because it would seem to me if you are attacking federal buildings, trying to invade federal buildings, you got another couple of laws that are at play.
Sure. Two things. I respect Tom Homan immensely. Got to know him over the years. He's no fluff, right? That's what we need. Again, we live in a world of hurt feelings, and it's just, you can't have that. You got to have sharp elbows when it comes to applying the rule of law. Because again, my phrase is, we're either going to be a nation of laws or we're not. Right. But let me say this. You know, for so long, for so many years, we've listened to certain Democrat talking heads always coming out and saying, no one's above the law. No one's above the law. No one's above the law. I can put that on a remix tape, right? And a dance track on the background, and it would go ad nauseum. But here, to Gavin Newsom's point, or to the point you're talking about Gavin Newsom, he has to be very careful here because he doesn't want to be seen as a hypocrite. No one's above the law, to include the governor of California. If he takes active measures, there's a difference and there's an analysis here. If he takes active measures to impede and obstruct ICE officers or federal law enforcement officers from being able to do their job, then yes, he should be subject to apprehension. If he's simply saying he's not going to cooperate or no one in his team is going to cooperate, and you know what, federal agents, you apply federal law, that's fine by us. Mm-hmm. Then I think that's a harder road to take to finding probable cause to arrest him as an individual who is imposing or obstructing federal law enforcement officers. You know, I say this to the mayor here, who, you know, Danny Avila, who I respect immensely, got to know him outside of the mayoral space, right?
Right.
He has come forward and openly said he is not and will not ever support and cooperate with ICE. Okay, I may be paraphrasing that, but I think we get the point, which is fine. But don't cry if your city lands on the sanctuary city list for DHS and they start pulling federal funding because you're refusing to apply federal law. You know, there's a different way to approach that level of discussion, but to be public and to be adamant and to be forceful. I get it. I mean, he's representing the people of the city if that's what they want. But let me say this, Jeff. These Democrats have to be careful. It's an easy talking point to say they're not going to cooperate with ICE, but the New York Times had a poll out where 55% of Americans strongly agreed and supported mass deportations of individuals who were here illegally in the country. 55%, that's a majority that's speaking here. Right. And if those individuals, Hakeem, Senator Spartacus, what's his name, Booker, the mayor, Mayor Bass, if these individuals are not paying attention to the sentiment of Americans who have lived through 4 years of wide open borders under the Biden administration just to be gaslit and told, oh, there's no crisis at the border, but yet we look around, we have 10 million undocumented migrants here. If they're going to willfully ignore the will of the people via the polling that comes out, that's to their detriment. That is to their detriment, because I think what's happening out there right now, if I may say it, I think the Democrats are writing the best political ad we could ever ask for. And we didn't even spend a penny. Honestly.
You're absolutely correct. The visuals are just incredible. Tony Pham joining us. Tony, I've got to ask you about the Richmond City Jail. A lot of folks forget that you. I know, but a lot of folks forget that you've got, in addition to this great experience at ICE and DHS, you were there with Sheriff C.T. Woody. You were there with William Burnett when he was Lieutenant Colonel. You saw the new city jail come to life. You operated your own jail. You know what it takes to do it. it just seems to me we're hearing about inmate deaths. There's no staffing left. Is there a chance to fix the sheriff's office, or do we just write it off?
No, there's always a way to fix it, and you fix it by change. You fix by changing the leadership at that organization. Jeff, you know, I will always say this, having actually run the correctional facility, my goodness, that was the first time I ever learned how dynamic of an environment it really can be, and that sometimes bad things happen. But what voters should be looking for when bad things happen is, one, ownership from leadership, and two, a proposal for change, okay? A proposal to address the deficiencies. We haven't heard anything. We haven't heard about any of it. I know I've been attuned to what happens in corrections just because it was my life for such a long time. I haven't heard ownership from the current sheriff, and I haven't certainly heard of any proposed operational changes that would be put in place to help families avoid the devastation of having a loved one pass away at a correctional facility where they shouldn't be dying. So with that, with lack of accountability, lack of change, and I'm not commenting on the current sheriff's character. I don't know her like that. Mm-hmm. But just at face value, I think it's time for the voters of the city to simply just say, look, we're not doing pretty well under this model of leadership. We need to find someone different. And yes, I worked with at the time Colonel Bill Burnett, and he's very passionate about why he's running, Jeff, because he's run several times, and he's trying to point out to the voters what's happening inside the box that they may not see. And to his credit, he has persevered through so many adversities. I think it's time the voters in the city of Richmond give him a shot. Now, that's my one comment. I don't try to wade into Democratic politics because, you know, we disagree 80% of the time. But I think from a constitutional officer's perspective, having done it and having worked for his predecessor, Sheriff Woody, I feel comfortable being able to say to Democrat voters when they go out and vote in the primary, it's time for change. And you got to give the man a shot at being able to turn that ship around, because we handed over to her a brand spanking new $134 million LEED Gold certified building, and it's just been run down. So I know I have a small window of time, Jeff. I may go over, but I feel horrible as an immigrant to this country who naturalized and assimilated into this country. It breaks my heart to see images of individuals out in California waving the Mexican flag, individuals who left Mexico, who refused to go back to Mexico and live in a country and come to America, wave a foreign nation's flag while burning their community here in the United States, the very country that gave them the platform to do just that. And I don't want that. I don't want our listeners to glean past that, how offensive it is. The only flag this naturalized citizen will fly is the flag of the United States of America and the POW MIA flag, Jeff, because 58,000 individuals died in Vietnam so a young man could have a shot at a better life in America. And I owe it to their memory to assimilate into our country, to our culture, and fly the United States flag and represent us the best we can. But you're not going to catch me claiming I don't want to live in Mexico, come to America, benefit from our freedoms, and then burn down my community and fly the Mexican flag here. If that's the case, you know, we had President Trump and Secretary Noem instituted a self-removal, self-deportation program. Get $1,000, fly home. Mm-hmm. There's my emotional response to seeing the burning images of a burning community while an individual lives free in this country, but yet flies a foreign nation's flag.
Tony, you're a good man. We love you, brother. I appreciate you being here. That is Tony Pham. Tony is a senior fellow at the Center for Homeland Security and Immigration. You know Tony's background has been a vital, vibrant part of our community, really, since the day that that he arrived. I don't know how many times we've had Tony on to share his story, to share his family's story, to talk about what he and his sister. His sister is a doctor up at the VA Medical Center in Boston, and they have both given back so much. Their parents sacrificed so much, and Tony is as proud an American as you can possibly get. And his service throughout his life, whether it was as a prosecutor, an assistant Commonwealth's attorney, working down with Sheriff Woody and Colonel Bill Burnett, whether it was his time as the principal legal advisor with the DHS, the acting director of ICE, the assistant secretary for border security and immigration policy. There's just nobody better. Absolutely think the world of Tony Pham. And I do appreciate him being here and giving us so much time this afternoon. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Six, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Lovely Tuesday evening, and we should at some moment be expecting some rain, some thunderstorms. We're going to see that through the evening and the overnight. They're going to be sort of pop-up things, not consistent. Hey, here's another fundraising issue, an ethical dilemma for Shannon Taylor, who is the Commonwealth's attorney in Henrico County and wants to be attorney general. Well, here's a problem. She has accepted $650,000 from Dominion. That's a lot of money. I mean, even for Dominion, $650,000, and 14 Democrats are saying this is at best a dicey ethical situation, because after all, if Shannon Taylor were to be elected attorney general, God help us all, but she would be responsible for overseeing Dominion Energy as a state regulated utility. Wow. That sure does seem like a conflict of interest, don't you think? I think even at the local level, as the CA for Henrico, $650,000 from Dominion? That's a lot of money. Goodness gracious. Are they covering their bets, by the way? Because normally companies like that, you know, they donate to everybody. Everybody. But, you know, they've got some favorites here. It's a little bit like me and the kids. I mean, I love all my kids equally, but I still love Julia the most. But there you have it. Hey, a couple of things that I do need you to take a listen to. I want you to take a listen to this media montage that we've put together. CNN and MSNBC, who, you know, are hacks, just tremendous hacks, and they are busy covering the L.A. riots. But, well, gosh, they've got a unique way of seeing it. Cut number one.
Despite the Trump administration's calling the protests lawless, Los Angeles police said Saturday's demonstrations remained peaceful.
Most of the crowds, again, that I saw, that I spoke to, that I was interacting with, these are peaceful people that want to get their message across.
The vast majority of these actions have been peaceful, and that there are lots of folks just trying to be heard on the streets in and around L.A.
You have a number of, it appears, peaceful protesters. We didn't see any weapons or sticks or anything.
So far, everything here is peaceful.
Some peaceful demonstrators.
People are demonstrating, and there's a lot of peaceful demonstration, but there are people that obviously are just upset.
Why does this situation justify the president bypassing California's governor entirely? Governor Newsom says that the National Guard, at least sending them, is purposely inflaming and will only escalate tensions there.
Let's remind our viewers that this administration pardoned more than 1,500 people convicted in the January 6th attack.
Wow. Wow. Interesting. Hey, remember Terry Moran? Terry Moran, who, well, he pretended to be a news reporter at ABC for years. He was like their chief White House guy, chief political guy. Yeah, rock solid journalist, Jeff. Yeah, they just fired him because of his most recent posting on X about President Trump's counselor, President Trump's assistant. I forget what his official title is, but Stephen Miller, special advisor, whatever it is. Terry Moran just had this absolutely vile, disgusting tweet, but it told everybody what he really thought, what he really felt. And we saw it. We saw it up close and personal. And even ABC News, which is not exactly known for their high journalistic standards, said that's too much even for us. Locally, an ABC affiliate out in L.A., Channel 7, this is a piece of priceless audio. This is one of their local reporters. Jerm, we're headed into that soggy salad category. But cut number one from L.A.,
large group of people, it could turn very volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way and turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn into a massive multimedia confrontation and altercation between officers and demonstrators.
Yeah, how about that? Wow. How about that? We have what I think is a priceless piece of audio. We've got just enough time here. Tom Homan. Tom Homan, who you just heard me talking with Tony Pham about him. Tom Homan, I have had the chance to hang out with off the record, if you will, a number of times. He's a great guy. And he is just an old school cop, period, end of story. Now, he's brilliant. And man, he knows federal law like nobody's business, but he really is just an old style cop. So he was on with Fox News the other day. It's a little bit longer than we would normally play, but you got to take a listen to this. Cut number seven.
He's a tough guy. Why doesn't he do that? And he knows where to find me. The hell is this guy? Come after me. Arrest me. Let's just get it over with. Tough guy. You know, I don't give a damn, but I care about my community. And I'm sorry to be so clear, but that kind of bloviating is exhausting. So, Tom, arrest me.
What are you going to do? You going to shoot some kid? He's afraid of you and run? You going to shoot an elected official? If you shoot me, you better shoot straight. I don't know why you're in my city. You did. The governor was not contacted.
Tom, what's your response?
Well, first of all, it's just ridiculous. That reporter from SMEC, he's a joke. He's a dishonest reporter. What we discussed was, for those protesters that cross the line, I've said it many times, you can protest, you got your First Amendment rights. But when you cross that line, you put hands on an ICE officer or you destroy property, or I say that you impede law enforcement or you're knowingly harboring concealing illegal alien, that's a crime. And the Trump administration is not going to tolerate it. You cross that line, we're going to see prosecution in the Department of Justice. Then the reporter asked me, well, could Governor Newsom or Mayor Bass be arrested? I said, well, no one's above the law. If they cross the line and commit a crime, absolutely they can. So there was no discussion about arresting Newsom. And so, you know, what he's done, he's failed that state. He waited 2 days of that city burning and people getting hurt, officers being assaulted, before he made any declaration of an unlawful assembly. He's late to the game. President Trump isn't late to the game. Men and women, our vice, are not late to the game. And let's make this clear. I keep hearing this term, ICE raids. What happened? How this riot started is that ICE was serving a series of criminal warrants at a business being investigated for money laundering, customs fraud, and serious violations on sending money to criminal cartels that in Colombia and Mexico that fund cartel activities in the United States. It's a part of an overall conspiracy that ICE is investigating. So we're arresting bad people. We're enforcing laws and following up on a serious criminal investigation on cartel financing. So that's exactly what I said. And I just took a lot of bad people off the street that day. We arrested a sexual predator, arrested gang members, arrested somebody that had an armed robbery conviction. So we made L.A. safer. The men and women of ICE, the men and women of the Border Patrol made L.A. safer that day. But you're not hearing any of this. All you hear is a rhetoric about ICE being racist, about ICE being Nazis and terrorists. And Governor Newsom feeds that. Just like Hakeem Jeffries feeds it, that he's going to unmask ICE agents. And you know, the members of Congress who keep feeding this rhetoric, they're the ones that are causing this riot because they don't listen to the truth about what the men and women of ICE are doing. We're keeping our promise to the American people to make these streets safe again. And that's exactly what we're going to do. And we're not going to stop doing it.
Wow. Is that not a guy you would follow into battle? I'm telling you that right now. He is exactly who he seems to be. Exactly who he seems to be. when you had Gavin Newsom at the beginning of it talking about tough guy, tough guy, tough guy. I got news for you, Gavin. Tom Holman, at his age, could take you any day of the week. You are the quintessential pretty boy. I don't think Gavin Newsom has ever been in a scuffle his entire life. I really don't. Tom Holman has had to scrap. Tom Holman has been out there on the street as a cop. And then on the border, as part of the Border Patrol, and then rising up through the ranks. I mean, it's amazing what he has accomplished. But he still has the same mindset today that he had when he started out as a cop in upstate New York. You know, these are the laws. I don't get to enforce the laws I like. I enforce the laws that are on the books. You can talk to a lot of people who are in law enforcement. Local, state, federal. And they'll all make it very clear to you. We do not get to choose which laws we enforce. These are the laws. Our duty is to enforce those laws. And if you are breaking those laws, well, we're going to have some sort of an interaction. It's just that simple. 545, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 550, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. We're kind of wrapping it up, right? Hey, President Trump is over at Fort Bragg. And he said, little breaking news for you. We are going to be restoring the names. Wow. We're talking about Army bases. Yep. Going to restore the original names of several U.S. Army bases that were renamed by Joe Biden. Here's the list. Fort Pickett, Fort Hood, Fort Gordon, Fort Rucker, Fort Polk, Fort A.P. Hill, and drumroll, please, Fort Robert E. Lee. Wow. Well, he said we won a lot of battles out of those forts. It's no time to change, and I'm superstitious. You know, I like to keep it going, right? I'm very superstitious. We want to keep it going. You remember, what was it, 2023, they were renamed by Biden. And now President Trump is just going to go in and put him back. Wow. Oh, now here's what's weird. Trump said, apparently the president did not mention Fort Bragg, which apparently is now Fort Liberty. Who knew? I would imagine, though, they'll have to go back, right? Sweet.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Sweet. Okay. And the White House has confirmed the restoration of the Army base names. And it'll be interesting. Okay. Well, very, very interesting. That little annoying Gretel chick from Sweden is on her way back to Sweden. You remember Greta?
My name is Greta Thunberg, and
Wait, hold on. What was that? Gretel?
My name is Greta Thunberg, and
give a tumble.
You see this? My name is Greta Thunberg.
Hey, can you play the whole thing? She's got a whole little speech she gave. Let me hear the whole dog.
My name is Greta Thunberg, and I am from Sweden. If you see this video, we have been intercepted and kidnapped in international waters by the Israeli occupational forces or forces that support Israel. I urge all my friends, family, and comrades to put pressure on the Swedish government to release me and the others as soon as possible.
What a maroon.
Yeah, sweetie, they released you as soon as possible. Make no mistake about it. The very last thing that Israel wanted was to hang on to you. The happiest moment of your visit there was when they put you on the airplane to send you elsewhere. Take my word on that. In fact, I would dare say nobody wants you. Well, maybe Sweden, but even Sweden didn't do anything other than say, that's how you pronounce her name. She's right. It's got a weird sort of Swedish girdle tap dance. What is it? Girdle tap dancer or something. I can't keep track of it. But she went there The Israelis described this boat that she was on, along with a collection of other useful idiots, as the selfie yacht. Right? They were all there with their selfie sticks, so they'd all get good shots. Here I look, look, I'm wearing a PLO t-shirt and a Yasser Arafat keffiyeh, so I'm down with the cause, man. And then she had the audacity, God, the audacity to talk about how she was being kidnapped. It's one thing just to be an idiot. It's another thing to say something that confirms you're an idiot. But then to describe yourself as being kidnapped, when in fact Israel still has hostages being held. We had American hostages up until a couple of weeks ago, right? Those were people who were actually kidnapped, Greta. The Israelis showed up. They gave her a sandwich. They gave her some bottled water. She took it all, by the way. Even the sandwich, which was wrapped in cellophane, and you know that's not biodegradable, so her whole climate nonsense, that's just a shtick as well. And then they put her on an airplane. She has a policy of not flying on airplanes because of their big carbon footprint. And the Israelis, God bless my people, man, they were able to buy her the one seat on the plane that did not recline. And this is not a little commuter hop like from here to New York. This is a long trip as she was flying from Israel to France. And then I guess from France, maybe she'll walk home to Sweden. I guess we'll see. Hey, we do have some weather allegedly coming in, right? We've got some showers and thunderstorms that could be with us through the overnight. So make sure first thing tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., you are listening to Rich Harary or listening to Richmond's Morning News. That gets started at 6. Enjoy this evening, okay? God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.